a little bit of a confession to make. My confession is that the Book of Devarim is actually my favorite sefer. Everybody likes Bereishis because it has nice stories, but the Book of Devarim to me is what this is all about, because it's Moshe's last hurrah. And if Moshe, and it says at the beginning of the Book of Devarim that Moshe, it's the beginning of the 11th month. According to the Gemara, Moshe died on the 7th of Adar. So there's actually a debate as to whether Moshe died
on
the 7th of Adar. But there's a debate as to whether Moshe died on the 7th of Adar Beis, or was it not a leap year, or, in other words, a regular Adar. Or I actually saw in a Midrash, I think it was Midrash Tanchuma, another opinion that says Moshe died on the 7th of Shvat. Fascinating, okay? But anyway, because it goes into a whole different question as to how much time passed from when Moshe dies until they actually go into the land and all that. So, but regardless, the fact of the matter is that this is Moshe's swan song. And as I think I noted a few weeks ago, or over a number of occasions, that Moshe's big speech spans chapter 5 through 26, and therefore, it ends in Parshas Kisavo. But beyond that, and beyond the many mitzvahs which are in this book, is the life lessons that Moshe gives to the Bnei Yisrael, some of which just have to do with the fact that his leadership is going to be ending. He's going to die, and he's not going to be present anymore. And more so, just the idea that when you go into the land, you have a number of different mitzvahs which you've never considered before. Like, life is going to change in a lot of ways. And therefore, you need to find a way to keep yourself grounded. You need to find a way to connect to the land. You need to find a way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You need to recognize that sometimes there might not be a leader. You know, I'm leaving you in the hands of Yahushua, but who knows what's going to happen next? And as we know from reading the Book of Yahushua and Shoftim, Yahushua does not leave behind his successor, and things fall apart in the Book of Shoftim. I mean, when there's a leader, there's a leader. When there isn't a leader, what? So it's complicated. Meaning the Torah, we saw a couple weeks ago in Parsha Shoftim, that when you get to the land and you say, "I want a king," so here's how you make a king.
Yeah. Okay. But they didn't ask for a king.
Right. They didn't ask for the king. They didn't ask for the king, but should they have? I don't know.
Or should Yehuda have taken
the same initiative as Moshe did? Moshe in Parsha Pinchas says to God, "Hey, I think we need to have a new leader." Okay, and Moshe's children are out of the equation. Yehuda didn't even have any children, so there's a void, and so in the end, that void is just left alone.
Yeah, but in turn, later when Shaul was picked for king, the Navi is castigates them. What do you need a king for?
Right. But they've also rejected him and his leadership.
Right.
But there are a number of failures there. Eli also, as successful as he is as a shofet and as a leader, in the end he's a failure, and that's why when the Navi comes to him and tells him, "You're done," I mean, it's devastating.
His family,
it's devastating. So I mean, at least Shmuel's in the picture, so we see that there's the passing of the baton. But it's really tragic. It's sad. All right. So anyway, in Parshas Kisavo, we have a number of different things which relate specifically to what's coming next. And I tried to give you, again, it's sometimes hard because some of his comments go on for pages and pages and pages, and we simply don't have the time to do it. But I think that I took out a nice crop of stuff which should guide us through different snippets of the parsha, skipping the Tovacha altogether. I apologize, but it's just. It was too much, so hopefully we'll get a good feel. Okay, the beginning of the parsha talks about. I mean, the parsha is called Kisavo. Kisavo al Arz. We come to the land. We're on page 1068 in the Chumash. Asher Hashem lekachanu senlag v'nachala senlecha nachala v'yishav yishatava v'lakata mirishis kopri adama. Okay, so what we're being introduced to here is the mitzvah of bikurim. Okay, the first fruits. And so the Aksavi Akabala, when he looks at that instruction, v'lakata. He asks a question, and it's a radical question. What is Bikurim? When we say Bikurim, translate it. We said it before. What's Bikurim? Not a trick question.
No, it's choice
what is
fruit.
Bikurim? What?
Choice fruit.
Ah, choice fruit. That's fascinating. Most people would say first fruit.
From the word b'chor.
Okay, right? What?
Which is what I said.
Right, which is what you said. Right. So okay, we have a let's just say an expandedly educated man here. That's it. Okay. Right, but v'korim. Right? Most people say first fruit, right? Mm-hmm. But what is the language of the text? Mei reishis kol pri adama.
Right.
Mei reishis. So mei reishis means of the first fruit, right? Not everything, okay? But it also doesn't mean specifically the actual
first
fruit, right? Because, you know, when we I'll give you an example, but I remember learning this in Halacha. So you remember when Tamar has the twins, Peretz and Zerach, right? So the first one, the Torah describes a very strange circumstance. The first one sticks his hand out, or his leg, I don't know, sticks something out. And so the lady ties a string around it saying, Zayatza Rishana, right? And then he withdraws, and the other one comes out and says, oh, parrots, okay. Right? So, but the idea of first fruit is that when it blossoms, we should not talk about this, you tie a string around it, so you know this one's first, right?
Yeah.
So, look at what he says. Mei reishis velo kol reishis. Okay, that you take of the first fruits, but not all the first fruits. She'ein kol haperos mechuyavim bebikurim ela shiva seminim uvas. So first of all, according to Rashi, says the only things which are obligated in bikurim are the seven, the shiva minim, right? The wheat, barley, and the shechitas or gafetain, or what is it? Grapes, figs, olives, pomegranates, and dates. Okay, but lomar she'ein a kavim of bringing last rishis hakadima. The b'chor levad, it's not just whatever comes first. Okay, ki makadima b'shevach. So you said choice, and as he says that is implied. That both of them are implied in the word bikurim. Ki chemi derech haloshon. Let's see him a shubach v'amuvchar shebmino b'shem rosh v'reishis. So look at that. He doesn't even focus on the word bikurim to say choice. He says the word rosh indicates choice. Kamo kachacha. See, this is a classic thing that he does, where he gives a bunch of examples proving that his definition of the word in question is exactly that. In all those cases, Rashi translates the word Rosh not as the first, but Rosh being Mishubach. Right? Choice. Best. Ve'od Rabim Kamon. Okay? Ve'kacha, Mei Rishis Kol Pri Adama. Yamar me reishis b'mem, right? It says reishis with a mem. She'ein kol peiros hachashuvim chayav bikurim el b'ksasim. You don't have to take all of the you know fancy
first fruit.
To be the bikurim. Rather, some of them. The amru zechon lo rafa she'ein shivas minim uminayin on yodim shekavanas hakasuv al ila hachashuvim dafka v'lo al zulasan. Okay, so how do we know that it's only referring to? Because think about it, only on the chashuvim, the good ones, and not just because if we tie it, right, this one's first. Well, there's a very good chance that once you tie a string around a fruit, that fruit is going to come out looking like not so very good, not so very healthy. Because you might do something to stop its growth process, or it just might not be a good looking fruit. So Nemar Khan, Eretz and Nemar Lahalan, Eretz Kitel Sevura, Mal Lahal Makom She Sefer Akasu V'Shevach or Sefer Akasu V'Shevach. When it talks about the land of the seven species, Eretz, Kitaos, Arag, Evanu, Eretz is referring to it's a shevach, it's a praise of the land. Lois Kirak Zayin Minim, it only mentions the seven species Elu. Afkan, so here too, when it says Velakachta Mereishis Kopri Adama Asher Tavi Me'artzacha, it says you're going to take of. Now we have to translate the word Reishis to mean the first choice of the first choices fruits. Asher tavi me'artzacha, the comparison of the word artzacha means hamiyuchasim l'shevach artzacha dafka v'hem mazayin me'inim me'elush neshtavkuen Eretz Yisrael v'lo zulasan. So it has to be of choice of these specific seven fruits or seven produce items, and he says in the next line the end of the line, we have to translate the word me'reishis with a double understanding. Meharishanos, the first, Hamuvcharos, which are choice. Okay, so you're right about Bikurim, but he's saying we're actually all wrong. Okay, that the key to understanding that interpretation, that's what Bikurim means, comes from the word Meharishis. Okay, little Kiddush, nice. Next. Pasuk Gimel. Uvatsal elokohin. Asher yeh bayamim mahim. Yamar toi love. You got to tell Yom Lashem. Lukecha yivasil etz Hashem nishbar Hashem lalav. Zeinu lasses life. Okay, so the Torah here gives us a script that when we that when people come to bring the bikurim, they tell the kohen first ki gadati hayom, he said, yeah, that I'm telling you today Lashem Elokecha ki vasi al that I've come to the land that Hashem promised. So now the idea of gadati hayom is strange if you think about it. V'yamarta elav, and you're going to say to the kohen. Higadati hayom Hashem Elokecha. Let's look at Art School's translation. I want to see if they got this. I declare today to Hashem. Okay, I declare today. Now that's not a very good. That's not a very good translation. What is higadati? I mean, just the conjugation wise, grammar wise.
I have told.
Higadati means I have
told.
Right, I have told.
Right.
Okay, I have told. Higadati. I have told. That's not what the translation is. They're saying I declare today. I would not say. I would say ani magid hayom. Right, that would be a better translation if you want to say, or I mean, that would be a Hebrew translation of their English.
If you want to say, as they say, I have declared, ani hichrasti hayom.
Right, okay, something to that effect.
Achraza, and the word achraza is in Tanakh, so it's not a modern Hebrew word.
Right, okay, so between the next two comments on this pasuk, we're going to get a more clear picture. Okay. So Rashi says, he quotes Rashi, on Asher Yeh Bayamim Ha'im. What was this? You're going to go to the Kohen Asher Yeh Bayamim Ha'im? I mean, obviously, you're going to go to the Kohen Asher Yeh Bayamim Ha'im.
Yeah.
So he says, Ein lecha ela kohen shebiyamecha kamoshu. Rashi says that you get what you get. You get what you get, right?
Yeah.
Like in Lefisha Sheha Bikurim, Einam Karban, Mechiva Asan Rakavan Kohen. The bringing of the Bikurim, it's not a Karban. It's not an offering to God. Who takes the Bikurim? The Kohen gets it. Because the coin doesn't have a field, the coin doesn't have property in that way. So this is his food. Avshal Tos, Shazay in Urak Yimakoin Gabarawa. And somebody might come to the impression that the only way I can bring it to the coin is if the coin's an important guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the coin is worth it, then I need to go through this process. Bikurim Eva. But if the coin's not an important enough guy, right? Just, oh, that's our coin. All right, fine.
So let him come.
Let him come to me and get it. Right? Why do I need to travel to the Beis Hamikdash for this coin? Now, a few years ago, I wasn't here. I was somewhere else, and actually, I had the conversation here also. But somebody told me that this person told me that. The individual in question was uncomfortable with receiving the bracha of a certain kohen in that person's shul. Okay? And said, and the person asked me, what are the disqualifications of a kohen from participating in duchening? Okay? And I actually wrote an article about it, and I gave a shiur about it here, because I just thought it was interesting. But not much. Not much, because the fact of the matter is the Kohen has a bracha. He has a mitzvah, rather. A mitzvah to Kosev Baruch Hu Ben Yisrael. It says mitzvah. So, I mean, if he killed somebody, then that's a disqualification. If he is violating one of the rules of Kohen, like if he's married to or living with a woman that he's not allowed to live with, then he's not allowed to give a bracha. But beyond that, there are very few things that which would actually disqualify Kohen.
I will say, I remember as a kid, I used to daven in Toronto in a shul, which the majority of whom were people from Europe,
uh-huh.
Greeners as we call them.
Right.
And there was a big to-do because one of the Kohanim was not Shomer Shabbos. They wouldn't let him go to
Right. So that is not a disqualifying factor.
I know.
Okay. Well, I remember my father had in the shul once, one of the members of the shul, his son came out of the closet. He was a Kohen.
Mm-hmm.
Also not a disqualifying factor.
So you really? Can do it. Yeah. There's nowhere.
It's not a disqualifying factor.
Interesting.
It's not a disqualifying factor. So he was allowed to do it. Some people went nuts. And the answer is, mind your business.
Yeah.
Okay? He's in shul, he's a kohen, he has a mitzvah. You don't want his bracha, so have in mind not to be yours. I mean, whatever it is. Okay? But it's not a disqualifying factor.
Right.
So for this kohen, he may not be, he may not be much of a whatever, but the fact of the matter is, he's a kohen. It's a kavod to the kohen. L'chein ba kasuz ladia shachiyuv l'havia bikurim el kohen shebiyamav. Yeah, Misha, yeah. Whoever he is, he's Kohen. And as a Kohen, he has certain rights and certain kavod coming to him. And we as the Jewish people have to follow these rules. And so we give, listen, it doesn't mean that the Kohen can't improve, it doesn't mean that the Kohen shouldn't live up to a higher standard for himself, of course, but it also means that the Jewish people need to recognize that we have a certain elite among us, and it's by birth, and that's it. I remember my roommate in yeshiva in Israel was a Kohen, so we were American kids, but he duchened every day, because in Israel you duchened. And he happened to be a very good guy, and in just every way, like very quiet, very humble, and everything. But I honestly think that that his duchening every day just made him step it up a little bit. You know, he was like really a good guy in every way that I could possibly think of. But I think that he just held himself on a personal level to a higher standard, because he said, I'm duchening, I'm blessing everybody every day. I need to live to a little bit of a higher level. Okay, Yomar Toilov. So let's get back to that question about Higarti. Okay, Sheimcha Kafui Tova. So okay, let's see. Quotes Rashi. You have to say to the Kohen, Yomar Toilov, Higarti Ayon LaShem Elokecha Kivasi Al Haaretz. Right. Basically expressing that, why am I here? This I want to say this is coming from God. Hosi Varaim Yom Lokein Ma'iv Yomar Toilov Higarti Ayon LaShem Elokecha Kivasi Al Haaretz. Like what you think we don't know that you came to the land? And the whole point is you're in the base of Mikdash. So you're coming to the Kohen. So this is the idea. So our rabbis are including a Haggadah, a new Haggadah, which is not in the Torah. That what the rabbis are teaching us is actually something which is implied in the word higarati. She'ena lashon haggadah pshuta. It doesn't mean, when we say haggadah, what does it mean? A telling, right? That's what the word haggadah is when we talk about the Pesach Seder. Kasher yivinu ha-meforshim, aval hu ma'amar nizgav hu nesinas shevach utila azachiyaso b'yishivas ha'aretz ha-kadoshah. He says, no, this is a much higher word. It's a person who's giving shevach. I'm giving praise and song on meriting to live in the Holy Land. V'hu milas higadati nigzar min shem God asher hora aso hatzlacha livracha kimo ki ba God. Remember when Leah names God, what does she say? Ba God. And what does ba God mean? It's a form of praise. She's not saying, the teller has showed up.
Bagad to rebel or anything.
Okay, but the way it's it's a kriyuk siv. The way right. That it's read is ba God, yeah. And the idea is that God is a form of praise. That God gadi means that my luck has turned to good fortune. Mm-hmm. And he goes on in this fashion, and essentially he's just saying that the word God here does not mean to tell. It means to praise. So now, higadati hayom, I have been praising, right? If you use that conjugation we talked about before, higadati hayom, I have been praising God today. Hashem lokecha kivasi al haaretz. It's amazing that I've been able to come to this land and I have this merit. So once again, this is just classic Aksama Kabbalah that we've seen so many times before, where he takes a word where we think we know the meaning, and using proofs from other places, he shows that the shoresh has a different meaning. And in this case, I think that his idea here, you can't even look at it the other way. It doesn't make sense. He got it to Yom. I am declaring today. That's not what it means. Mm-hmm. I have told you today. Like, what do you mean? It doesn't make any sense. He got it to Yom. I am praising today to Hashem, or I have been praising because I'm here. That to me is a much better translation. And certainly fits much more in line with the language of the text.
Bring in the pasuk for God. God do.
He does. He does.
God do. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Go more to the end. He does. Go to the end of the line. After, you see where it says Shabbos Samach Dalad? Next line at the very end. Lama Shri Yitzliach V'chein. God do.
Oh,
it's right there. Okay, Tamukan Bevo all Beis Hashem, Priya Mushubach Ba'aretz, Yitain Shevach Lifila, Maris Asman. Okay, then when you come in with this fancy fruit, you're going to give praise to God over the fact that you're able to do so. That's what it is. Okay? Okay, we move on. Now, of course, this declaration we're very familiar with because it is part of the Haggadah, just to use the other word. Okay, we say that the Magid, not Magid, the section about Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim is primarily focused on this text. Now, he has a long comment here about what Arami Oved Avi, which I actually gave the Arami Oved Avi commentary, I gave that class before Pesach. So that was the Parsha class before Pesach was on Arami Oved Avi. So I think I recorded it, and it might be online. I don't remember. But anyway, so we're not going to look at that. But I do want to look at this one. Vayir Mitzrayim. Vayir Mitzrayim. Okay, because he asks an interesting question. There is a debate regarding Arami Oved Avi, that who is it referring to? Who is the Arami, and who is the Avi? Mm-hmm. And what does Oved mean? Yeah. So we know what the Haggadah says, right? What does the Haggadah says? That the Arami is Lavan, and Avi is Yaakov. Yeah. There are other interpretations, and that's what I shared in that class on Arami Oved Avi. But look what he says here. Haraba, the Ibn Ezra Ta'ani, he claimed, Im Lavan Bikesh Lavid Avi, Amnam Loredes Mitzrayim Lo Yasiba. Right? If Lavan was trying to destroy Yaakov, this is Ibn Ezra claims, so going out to Egypt, that had nothing, it wasn't connected. Right? Lavan, what do we say? Lavan Bikesh Lakor Sakol. He wanted to, destroy
the Matai.
Right, he wanted to destroy, not that he wanted to kill, Lavan wasn't genocidal, but he wanted to destroy their Hashkafa. He wanted to destroy their Yiddishkeit. Okay, good, decent word. All right. So, how does that translate to going down to Egypt? He says that afterwards others, and others tried to destroy us. But he says, "Ain't Tzarchlezeh, we don't need Ibn Ezra, we don't need Rashi, because the fact of the matter is that Lavan did cause the going down to Egypt. Why? If Lavan had never played a trick, who would Yaakov have married first? Rachel. And there wouldn't be a Leah, okay, in the equation. And there wouldn't be any jealousy. That's exactly the point of it. He would have married Rachel. Then nobody would have complained. Of course you'd love Yosef. He's the firstborn. Duh. From the first marriage. He says Leah Tchila Birmia, only because Leah married Yaakov with this trickery. And all the other brothers were born for Yosef. Yosef, lo yirak, right? The brothers, they didn't know the whole story. You think assuming that the whole thing with Rachel, Simonim, whatever it is, so all they know is that daddy married mommy first, okay, and then he married Aunt Rachel. But all right, whatever. And mommy had all of us, and then Rachel, she's like the hated wife, and all of a sudden he likes her. It doesn't make any sense. Yosef, come on, really?
That never came up in conversation, do you think?
I wonder.
Because there's an element they intuited or however they did it, all the laws of the Torah.
Coming back to what you and I were discussing, he couldn't have married her anyway because he can't marry his sister.
But the point is that if indeed the reputation that Rachel has is that she wanted to save her sister's embarrassment, I would imagine that it never came up. It is what it is. Like, that's just a conversation
but
that we have.
The kids may have had the conversation.
Okay, the kids could have had it, but the fact of the matter is that Yosef is 6 years younger than Reuven, and he's younger than everybody else. But maybe it didn't come up. I don't know. But the point is that he's blaming Lavan for all that happening. Because once they hate Yosef, right? You see that their father loves Yosef more. And that's where Yosef getting sent down to Egypt comes from. And that's what led everybody going down to Egypt. He says, I saw this, the Al-Sheikh agrees with me. We'll get Ein Zeh Perish B'Sof Kliyagar. Kliyagar does as well. L'mad Yisuf Midrash Rabba. Perak Amtas. B'Shah Shaya Avram. Ma'alek Ba'aram Na'arayim. Ba'aram Na'chor. Ura B'nei Adam. Oklum Shosim. Pochusim Amar. Al-Vay Lo Yeh Chalki Ba'aretz Azos. So when Avram was going around, he said, when he was a younger man, he said, I don't want to live here. And I don't want to be in this land. U'lefi Shem Yisham Lachan Yitzchak Ez Rivka. V'Yaakov Ez Nashav. So Mitzrayim.
I understand that last.
So yeah, the end part is, it's a little strange. He says, I don't want my chelik to be here.
Right.
However, what's fascinating is the whole idea of Avram making a decree that I don't want my sons to marry from the daughters of Canaan. I do want to marry from El Arziv, El Molarati Seleh, and go back to my homeland. He tells his servant. We identify him as Eliezer. So that goes into a whole different discussion about what Avram was looking for. Why did Avram not want his son to marry from the daughters of Canaan? So the interpretation that I like the most, I mean, I've seen others, is not, it wasn't about Midos. It wasn't even about idolatry, because, you know, what you think Levin was an idolater, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was because they were from the Benos Cham. They were from the families of Cham. And Cham was cursed. So Avram said, I don't want, meaning the people in Canaan. Okay, whereas the people in Aram Naharaim were Semites. So Avram says, Semites I can deal with, but they're not going to live there. We're going to go back to the promised land. So Yaakov is saying, hey, he says, I don't want to be there, but that's where I need the ladies from. So that's where it comes from. But anyway, the point is that Vayera Mitzrayma really does go back to Laban. So if the interpretation of Aramil Beravi is referring to Laban, then Vayera Mitzrayma is directly connected, because Laban is the one who pushed them to Mitzrayim through making Yosef into not the firstborn.
You know, you make the point. So, the children of Shem actually were in control of Canaan until Canaan overthrew them. Wouldn't there be a fair number of descendants of Shem?
Okay, so that I can't start analyzing that. I have no idea.
No, I'm just saying.
So no, what does he say? But what does Avram say? Avram says, I don't want my son to marry me, Benos Canaan.
I agree, but in Eretz Yisrael, in Canaan at the time,
it could be
a fair number of the descendants.
Okay, it could be.
Tamar was there, obviously.
Okay, right. So it could be. Abraham, I can't answer for Abraham the choice.
I still have questions.
No, you may be right. I'm not going to argue with you. I just don't know the Metzius of what was going on over there, but the only thing we have is what Avram said.
I'm just saying it's still problematic.
Okay. That's what we have a lifetime for, to try to resolve the problems. Okay. All right. With the conclusion of all of this, so at the very bottom of the page, after making the full declaration of Arami Ovenavi, etc., so the person is supposed to place the basket of fruits down, look three lines in the bottom of the Chumash, so you leave it there, and then you bow, and then the instruction is, you should rejoice in all the good that Hashem has given you and your household. Who rejoices? You, with the Levi, and with the Ger, Asher B'Kribecha. And what the Ger means is always subject to debate, or at least discussion, as to what the Ger is. Is it referring to a convert to Judaism? Is it referring to the Ger Toshav who lives among you? Because remember, the truth is that in both cases, the Ger Toshav, and the I always wonder about this, and I don't know that I'm ever going to come up with a satisfactory answer. Right, somebody who converts to Judaism is not part of a tribe. So they become, we would say today, welcome to the tribe. But which tribe are we talking to about? We're talking about the tribe of Israel. But they're not part of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, etc. So they don't have a chelek in the land any more than Levium do. Right. And Levium at least have cities. So where do these people live? What do they do for a living? Right, are they always going to be Chot ve'etzim and Shov ve'mayim? No, of course not. A convert to Judaism is a full Jew. So what are they going to do? So I think that the answer, I don't have an answer, because they can never become farmers. All generations, the daughters maybe, the daughters can marry into a different tribe. The sons, they're never going to get a tribe.
They're never going to get land.
So I don't have an answer. I haven't done research on it, but I don't have an answer. But so they can become accountants. They can become a lawyer. They can buy things in the supermarket. But I don't know. What if they want to become a farmer? What do they do? So maybe the answer is, that's the whole point of Yovel, right? That they can make an investment in land, and they can work with land, and eventually Yovel comes along, they have to give back. But the things which don't go back when Yovel comes are like homes inside cities. So you can have an apartment, you can have a house somewhere, but you just don't get land. But it doesn't mean that you can't own land. It just goes back on Yovel. So maybe that's the answer. All right. Anyway. So v'samachta b'cholatov, v'samachta b'cholatov. Milas tov. We're back in the commentary. Okay, milas tov. Yishamesh gam al kol davar hagorim arevus nimus al chush lisanig. Okay, so again, this is the same theme where he's taking a word and giving us a very different interpretation. When we translate the word tov, what do we think about? How do you translate the word tov? Again, not a trick question.
Good.
Right, we usually translate it to mean good. But he says it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. It's davar hagorem arivus uniimus. What does that mean? Camaraderie, pleasantness. Okay, alachush lisanigbo, to enjoy. Kemo tovas mare, somebody who is pleasant to look at, right? We don't even say good to look at. It's really, really, we translate tovas mare as pleasant. Reach tov, a sweet aroma. We don't translate it as a good smell.
It's almost an emotional thing.
Right, it's much deeper.
L'chein
yoshamesh milas tov ala ha-ne'imus ra'ish ta'asus. What are these words in Yiddish? Ungenem.
Ungenem. It means very satisfying.
Okay, good. And fergnit, nigt, fergnigt.
Fergnigent. Fergnigent is very pleasant, very...
Okay, there you go.
This is a fagenigen. Okay, it is a good pleasure.
Kemo smechim v'tovilev. Like happy and just very pleasing of heart. And he gives a few examples here. Okay, skip to the three dots. The three dots means that I skipped some of the commentary because he brings a lot of examples. Okay? Amar ha-kasuv, v'samachta b'chol ha-tov. The pasuk says that you should rejoice with all the tov. Klamar, simcha secha lo tia simcha levavis levad panima. Ki im omnam tarbea simcha b'chol minei noam. Says it shouldn't just be like a good feeling. Mm-hmm. Simcha inside. It should be something much bigger. B'chol minei noam. All manners of pleasantness. V'heim diburei shirayu minei kol zemer. It means that real simcha means to bring music into the picture. Hamosifim simcha v'gil. Right? Different kinds of rejoicing. V'zeo shamar sifrei v'samachta b'chol minei simcha b'chol atov z'ashir. That chol... Tov refers to song.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that it's not just about pleasantness. He's giving us a specific identity of what Tov refers to. V'yamru, minayin lebikurim shetun and shira. How do we know, the Gemara Erechin says, how do we know that bikurim, they need to be accompanied with song? Asi tov tov, k'siv b'chol ha-tov, v'k'siv b'shira b'simcha v'tov lev. Okay, so there's a comparison,
yeah.
A gezeira shava, between the word tov here, that you have to rejoice with all of the tov, And elsewhere it says b'shira b'simcha v'tov lev. That tov is referring to a form of song. Okay, again, da da da. Achar shedibir akasuv me'echos asimcha. Echos, so echos is
quality,
right?
Yes.
So now it's talking about the quality of simcha. You know, I always have to compare echos and kamos. I know that kamos is quantity. So once I know what kamos is quantity, echos is quality, right? Yotia es hamukhuvan b'simcha zo. Now we understand what the purpose of the simcha is, or the direction which is supposed to go. The amar asher nasan l'cha Hashem elokecha ulevesecha. That where does the shira come from? What is the simcha all about? Because of what Hashem has given. Klamar shelo tei simcha zcha b'ma'asha aretz yishalcha. Don't have simcha because the land is yours. Right? Because it's easy to say, oh, it's great that I have this land. I look at how much I worked and I did it. If you say, oh, no, it's nature that works. If you think it's all you, then you're throwing God out of the equation. That what is it? Think about all the pleasantness that if there's good in your life, it's because God is in your life. That's the point. I found that to be just it's such a powerful message that we need to remember. And of course, a person who is a ma'amin understands this implicitly. Don't call arutz that God. He is the master. Well, Mashgiach Alecha, he's the one who's watching over you. He's the one who channeled the spigot, right? Channeled the spigot in your direction. That's what Tov is. So it's a beautiful reminder of a perspective that we ought to have when remembering God's role. Okay, now the next tefillah after that is also a very beautiful tefillah, in which we basically say, and I love it. I really love this text. in Pasuk Gimel, Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis, V'gam Nesatil LaLevi, V'lager LaYisrael LaEmunah. I got rid of the Kodesh the way that I'm supposed to, and I gave it to the Levi, I gave it to the Ger, I gave it to the Yasam, I gave it to the Amana, K'chol Mitzvah Secha Asher Tzivisani, just as you have commanded me, Hashem. Lo Avarti Min Mitzvah Secha Lo Shechachti. I didn't violate, and I didn't forget anybody, or anything. And then we go on to explain other things which I've done. And look at the end of Pasuk Yudalet. Asisi K'chol Asher Tzivisani. I've done everything you've commanded. And therefore, I demand of you, right? You wanted me to take care of your poor, your needy, and therefore, Hashkiva Min Ma'on Kodshecha Min Hashemayim. So you have to look down Min Ma'on Kodshecha from your heavenly abode, from you have to bless the Jewish people and the land, just as you promised that it should be a land flowing with milk and honey. Take care of us.
May I interject here? I think you made Hashkifa as it were a command. I think it's please.
Well, that's what he's going to address. He's going to tell us what the word Hashkifa means. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So let's take a look. I mean, I'm not going to argue with you, okay. But I'm here to present the Aksava Kabbalah. So let's see what he says.
All right.
Okay, he says, Hashkifa comes from the word, it's a word which means to look.
Right.
Hari'iya, te'amir b'panim shonim. There are three ways different ways that ri'iya, seeing, could be spoken of. Ri'iya, habata, v'ashkafa. Okay, we're going to see how he defines each of those. Kol achad Torah, alofan ri'iya, b'fnei atzma, mashalo. Torah chavrta. And each one, Torah, not Torah. It's right. Going to teach us a different thing about seeing that the other one does not do. Okay? Milas for A. So I put in bold, so you see where the definition is. And I'm not going to go through each one, because he gives examples, but I do want to look at the last one, because we're looking at the word hashkafa here. Milas for A tomar al riyasa ayin etzem hanirea al mitaso miblishi dektek al pirte echiyusam umekarav. Okay, that the word re'e just refers to seeing. You see something, it is what it is. Okay, the example that he gives is Vayarvi Ine Be'er Basadeh. That's Yaakov when he gets to Haran. Okay, he sees a Be'er. He doesn't have to examine what it is. Vayarvi Ine Shloshai Dreitzon. He sees what it is. Now he goes over and he asks the three shepherds, "Hey, what's going on over here? Why are you waiting? It's the middle of the day, etc." But Vayar just means he sees, not thinking too much. Skip to the next bold. Umilas habet tomar ala riya asher lo tadaktek liros atzmei advarim. You're not going into great detail. Aval hakavanavo shechzir panav laosot sad shehibit. Okay, that
it's a second look.
Right, it's a second look. And so, what's the classic example? Lot's wife atabet yishol me'acharav. Right, she saw what's going on, but she took a second look. Havcha panim letzad stom mibeli shadiktika liros b'shum prat ki yemedarach malos. Right, she looked again. Moshe passed them, and the people turned around, they looked at him again. Al tabit acharecha, don't turn around, mehabit ela Elohim, don't take a second look. You saw it, done. Move on. I remember once Rabbi Simon from YU was giving a class on, I think it was Hilchos Nida, must have been Hilchos Nida. And so one of the topics was about Tumas Zera. Okay, and he talked about Motzi Zera, and he talked about people, and he said to the class, and this was on YU Torah, so you know you can certainly find it if you find the right class. But he said, "Listen, it's a world, it's a crazy world that we live in. You know, you just step out of the building, and you see a billboard on a bus. You know, what are you going to do?" He says, "So you can't help looking the first time, but you can help looking the second time." So let's talk about that. Okay, and that's what habata is. Okay, look at the second one. Aval milas hashkapa, right to the last one. Te'amer al ri'iyas etzem adavar v'diktuko kol pirtei echiyusav mekarav. Okay, that we're getting into all the nitty gritty, because hashkapa means to examine, and to see the big picture. And so now look what he says. Kamo v'yashkev Avimelech ba'arach alon, that Avimelech looked. So that's I always wondered about that. Avimelech is looking at the window. So where's he looking from? Vayashkev. Where's he looking from? Right, is he a peeping tom that he's like walking past Yitzchak's house, or does he have is he a voyeur because he has a telescope on the top of his palace and he can look into everybody's house? Vayashkev. Shedikteik v'pratei inyanehem ad shira'om etzachek. That he was really examining, like, who are these people? They moved into town. They're both claiming to be single. They live together, but, you know, I really need to look inside and see what's going on. Okay? Sherlock Holmes. Be'arach alon nishkafa eim Sisra. Right? Sisra's mother is at the window. She'akavanahi she'ha'isa rotza la'ashkif al kol pratei eich v'yosav shal Sisra b'derech. She needs to find out everything that's going on. Right? Am I going to see him coming back with a victory flag? Am I going to see him coming back with escaping with a white flag of surrender? What's it going to be? Kituchal roso ba'arach achalon v'tismachu kaso. L'chein, on the top of the next page. Lo timsa ashkafa kimi makom gavol l'makom namuch. So ashkafa means really seeing the big picture, from higher up, looking down. Lower down. Shoez ze chaviro ve'ein chaviro ro'ehu.
Right? It's being done in secret.
Avimelech, exactly, like a voyeur, right? Yeah. The example that I gave of Avimelech with a telescope on the top of his palace, looking down, right? It's like, kind of like the way David saw Bathsheba.
Like you're spying.
Okay, exactly, like spying. Sisra's mother, she wants to see how he's coming, but he's not going to see her looking at him. L'chein amur razal, ein hashkafa el ra. I mean, the way hashkafa is used today, it's kind of ironic. When you say, hashkafa, what's your hashkafa?
Yeah. Like, in the Shiva world, that's a good word.
Right. So he says, no, hashkafa is bad. Chutz min hashkiva m'mon kachacha. Okay, except for this case. Why? There's no way that anybody who's doing an examination of hashkafa is not going to find a flaw. But what if we just declared to God, said, I did everything right, and so I want your hashkiva in my own kachcha to be a hashkafa of good, because if you're looking at, you're examining my deeds, you see that I did everything right, and therefore I need you to varech asamcha Yisrael. Aval hashkiva my own kachcha hi l'tova, v'shkol ma sheterbel dak tekba v'chol prota teitiv be'enecha. God, you're only going to find good. I did everything right, and therefore I need you to bless us. I'm not sure what
he's doing is turning around the word hashkafa from evil to good.
When it's coming from the Rabbeinu Shlomo, okay, yeah, in this particular case, right. Hey, when a person does hashkafa, there's no good. I remember years ago when I was in the early efforts of finding the right rabbinic position. So a friend of mine who is my senior by a number of years told me, he says, anytime you interview, they know everything about you because you gave them your resume. All they're looking to do is find out why they shouldn't hire you. Okay, that's what an interview is. They're finding reasons not to hire you. That's hashkafa, because the truth is that it's easy to find reasons not to hire somebody. You don't like the way the person looks. You don't like the way the person smells. You don't like, right? That's why people are not allowed to discriminate. But the fact of the matter is that anybody in any hiring process, they're discriminating. Okay, in one form or another, they're trying to find a way that you are not going to fit into this office or into this place. That's what hashkafa is. They're going to examine the nitty gritty. Okay, so that's all that I wanted to do in that realm. Now let's move on to another section in the parsha here. Okay, turn to page 1072. Chamishi. Okay? Chamishi, right? No, the previous section. I'm sorry. It's Revi. So I don't want to read through all the psukim. But here, the Moshe describes to the people, it says, when you come into the land and you're going to cross over the Jordan River, you need to set up these big stones and you're going to cover them with some kind of lime or some kind of plaster, and you're going to write on them, it's called the Pasuk Gimel, V'chasavtali, and it's called the Riyat Torah Zos B'Avracha. Okay, page 1072, Pasuk Gimel. Mm-hmm. You're going to write on them all the words of the Torah. Okay? And it goes on to describe the stones which are going to be taken out of the Jordan River, and you're going to use them as a Mizbeach, and you can't cut them with anything. You're going to bring Karbonos on the Mizbeach, Pasuk Ches, V'chasavta Al Havanim, it's called the Riyat Torah Zos B'Eir Etev. And on these stones, you're going to write Kol the Riyat Torah Zos, all the words of this Torah. Okay, so that's the question I want to look at. Kasavta es kol divrei entorazos. Give me half a second. Let's see where I put the notes here. Okay. All right. I didn't take notes. Good. So we're just going to go through this. Okay? Here we go. La Ramban hayu avanim gedolos meod. The Ramban says that these stones were very big. Im shahayu mimas nisin. Maybe they were made. Maybe the way that they're put together is so miraculously. L'chtov aleihem b'reishis ad leinei kol Yisrael, to write. If the entire Torah was meant to be written on them, mm-hmm. including all the words. Ibn Ezra b'shem agon kasu aleihem minyan kol mitzvos azaros kein she kasvan b'hilchos gedolos. That he just wrote down the actual mitzvos and warnings. What Moshe was supposed to do is to write from. What they're supposed to do is to write from Hayom Hazeh, okay? Which is, I don't know what pasuk design means. Okay, so from Shlishi, okay, page 1070. Yeah. To go from there, you can write Kol HaTorah Hazos, meaning from Hayom Hazeh, the rest of the book of Devarim, mm-hmm. okay? Ubni Hamaskil Maren Rav Shmuel Nero Yair. Xavier Kabbalah lost his son. Okay. Oh no, maybe the Zal was written later. Okay. Amar Milas Kolpet Inyano Kmo. I'm sorry. Milas Kol Po Inyano Kmo Klal. Okay. That the word Kol doesn't necessarily mean all, but it means a rule. Hakolel Pratim Rabim Kmo. That what is it that you're going to be doing? You're going to be writing down things which are like a lot of specifics, but not all the Torah. Kmo uzchar tamis kol mitzvos Hashem. In other words, what's the real question is, what is the purpose of these huge stones? Okay, if you think about it, ever you ever see those artwork where you have like there's a picture, and the way that the artwork is made, it's fine details of like. It's a picture of David HaMelech, and it's Sefer Tehillim, you know, written in little letters. Mm. Or it's a picture of David HaMelech, and it's, I don't know, whatever it is. It's a picture of a flower, and it's all Shir HaShirim.
Voracious, and all the animals, it's all...
Right, okay. Now, you look at something like that, and, I mean, unless you're A, really good, B, really smart, C, you know voracious already, if you're going to try to make out words there, I got two words for you. Good luck. I mean, it's not happening. So you can't make it out. So if they're going to write, I don't care how big these stones are, you're going to write out all the Torah, nobody's going to be able to see anything. Especially, I mean, maybe if the stones are flat and this, but it sounds like these are, like, you know, tall. They're meant to be something that you could see from a distance. So it looks like he's suggesting that if you're going to write all the words of the Torah, you're not going to accomplish anything. Nobody's ever going to see it. Nobody's ever going to be able to read it. And so therefore he says, you have to write things out like Uzchar Tamis Kol Mitzvos Hashem.
More or less as a head note.
Right? It has to be something which is a marker that people can see and can remember. Shehu L'Razal Perish Shema L'Fi Sheyesh Ba Kabbalas Malchus Shema. Parsha Shema. You have to write out the Parsha of Shema. Okay, that's important, right? That's how people remember to accept the yoke of heaven. Barachok Asa Avodas Elilim. Right? Distance idolatry. Remember, this is Moshe's swan song. How many times in the book of Devarim does Moshe say, I'm going to die, and you're going to start worshipping idols. I'm going to die, and you're not going to have me as a guide, and you're going to follow the ways of the people. Don't do it. Okay, so to do the first of the Dibros, the first two Dibros. That the word kol, It references a klal. What does a klal mean? L'chein lamar hakol. I'm not sure. Hey stands for Hashem Elokecha usually, but I'm not sure if that's what it refers to here. Unless he's saying hakol behei.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Hakol with a letter hey. Ki imu milas ha'inyan lo yavo behei. So what was the pasuk here? What did the pasuk here say? B'chas avta al avanim es kol de reyata razos verite. What did it say earlier on? Alihan is called the Breata Razos. Okay. It doesn't say Hakol. Ah, okay, that's the point. If it said Hakol, then it would mean everything. Kim Mumilas Ha'inyan Lo Yavobahe. If it's referring to a topic or an idea, then it would say Hakol, then it wouldn't say it's called. That's an argument which he's making. Asus Khalatar al Atazumenu Shura'i Mimena Behe. Dharma Mimenu Shakino She Shav Amilas Kichol. Shetamo klal haTorah. Okay, klal haTorah doesn't mean all the Torah. It means the rules or general ideas. Ki milas kol shem davaru. So kol is a specific noun, but it doesn't refer to every single word. V'chein kan. It's kol divrei Torah zos perish klal divrei Torah. Oh, here we go. Here's where I need you. In begrif diezer ganzen leret. What does that mean? In begrif,
I don't even know what that was. Okay. I can't think of anything.
Diezer ganzen leret. Ganzen is all.
This entire...
Leret. It's leret.
Lesson.
Lesson. Okay, so that doesn't mean all the words of the code. Because well, again, in Parsha Shema, Ushtei Adibros, Uksas Smuchim Lezeb, what's Hakel? Read the entire Torah. What's Hakel? When the Melech reads from the Torah, does he read the entire Torah? No, of course not. What does he read? Shavu Lasos is called the Ratorazos. What Loy Nikra called Torah Kula. He didn't read the entire Torah. Rakman Yelad Dvarim at Parsha Shema. He'd only read the first part of Dvarim until Shema, first five chapters. And he'd skip around. So the point is, it's called the Brei Torah does not mean all the Torah. Mm-hmm. It's things that people could actually look at and read. Hine gam al parshas kabbalas malchus shemayim kabbalas ol mitzvos chadumah and mitzvos haklalios. Okay. I'm not sure what's aleph hafkaf aleph hechav im achikain. Tikras haterazos and gomer achinami kan ein min aherich. The parsha is called the Brei Torahzos. It does not mean all of the words, right? From Bereishis, Bara Elohim, Yisrael Shemayim, Kiim, Mitzvos, Klalios, Kiparsha Shema, Vahim Shema, Chadam Elohim. Okay, and that's the point that I essentially wanted to bring out, that when it says Kol Devei Torah Zos, whether it's from the fact that the word Kol means something else, or it does not say Hakol, that it's general ideas, important take-home messages, important lessons, and it doesn't mean that it's a huge writing undertaking. Honestly, because that's basically impossible. I mean, how are you going to write all this on a lime plastered up stone? How would it be effective? Exactly.
Right.
Okay. It's like when you walk into a shul and you see whatever's written above there on Kodesh. All right. So it could be impactful because at least you can see it. And if it's all tiny letters, you got to fill
it. It's just a few words.
And it's just a few words, right? Okay. Okay. I only brought his comment on Pasuk Tes. Because he just notes Vayidaber Moshe Va'akonim Alavim Kol Yisrael, that he says that is Siyum Chelak Hasheni Sefer Dvarim, right? The part which begins in chapter 5 and ends in chapter 26. Now, I'm not really sure why he does that here and why he doesn't say it at the beginning of Perikop Zayin, mm-hmm. when it says Vayitzav Moshe V'Zignei Yisrael, something like more, because it would seem that it would be there. But you know, that's the point is that is where it ends, and so he says that the third Chelak begins right over here. Okay. Now, the last section, I don't really want to go inside, but this goes back to something which we've seen a number of times here this year, and that is on Pasuk Hey in Perek Chavtes. So let's look at the Pasuk. Of course, we're basically skipping the Tokacha. Basically, we are skipping the Tokacha. And we get to Perek Chavtes, Pasuk Hey, which is the very end of the Parsha, page 1084. Okay? So, Moshe tells the people, you've seen everything, okay? I've led you for 40 years. Your clothes haven't withered. Your shoes haven't worn out. He says that you should know that Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So what is Ani Hashem Elokeichem? So Jerry, you were here since the beginning of the year. Do you remember what Ani is?
No.
Okay, maybe you missed it. It's okay. I'm not going to hold you to it. Do you remember? We saw this a little bit more in the beginning of, I think, Shemos, more than anything else, where you see Ani Hashem a lot, where that's the message that Moshe is supposed to bring. And so he says here, Acharei Parsha Zo, Lo Tchila B'Lashon, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe, Rak Vayikra. Right, so if you remember, it's Vayikra Moshe, El Kol Yisrael, Vayomar Lehem. Vayomar Lehem. V'chol HaParsha, Yidaber Menu Yisbarach, V'lashon Nistar, Asher Asa Hashem, V'lanasan Hashem Lechem. Okay, in other words, Hashem is mentioned in passing. Ma'usha Markan Ani Hashem Elokechem. So why does it say here Ani Hashem Elokechem? Havel Elamar. Laseva Dibur B'Lashon Nistar V'Lamar Ki Hu Hashem Elokecha. Right? If you're talking about Hashem in the third person, then why would you all of a sudden throw in Ki Ani Hashem Elokechem? V'Nir Elamar, right? That it becomes in first person. This is Moshe talking. V'Yikra Moshe El Kol Yisrael. It doesn't say V'Yidaber Hashem Moshe Elamar. This is Moshe Tam. Vayikra Moshe al kol Yisrael. Vayomer lehem. So where does this Ani Hashem Elokeichem come from? So his answer, in very simple terms, and he brings a lot of proofs to it, and this is something which the Ksava Kabbalah mentioned much earlier on as well, is that V'nir lamar she'ein milas ani kan ki b'charm kamoz l'oros haguf ha-medaber b'ad atzmo ich, referring to me, aval hu she'ein Hashem Yisbarach. That is the thing. It says Ani is one of God's names. Okay, and where I'm trying to remember what the 1 second. Anyway, so we have to go back to those early parshas in Bereishis and Shemos, where Hashem says Ani Hashem or something to that effect, because he gave an interpretation which eludes me now. So now I have to go back and see what
Ani.
Yeah, no. Shmi Hashem l'medati lahem. But the point is that the word ani is a shame Hashem, and we've gone 55 minutes. So let's go through this and to see if he actually does this again. Kimamaram ani v'hoshiyana d'las ri lo amru b'hakifasam ana Hashem hoshiyana rak ana ani v'ho hoshiyana. That ani, it's a name of God which we're calling upon to help, to save. We're going to say this during Hoshana soon. Rukvarachiva mechaberim levayer me'atz esrei shnei Hashemos ha'ila mechilta darishmal gufa de'ilna ani aleph nun yud. Okay, so they're trying to interpret what this name of God means. Rukvar amrusha akavan azu amar Hillel im ani kan hakol kan v'im ein ani kan mikan. What's Hillel saying? Is Hillel talking about himself? No, he's talking about... Right, he's talking about the Rebbeinu Shlom. If Ani, meaning God, an attribute of God is present, then great. If he's not, then who is? L'makom sha'ani ohev ragli molichos osi. My feet bring me to where Ani is. U'b'mechilta d'Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, shchinasi dekra Ani. Okay, that the Shchinta, rather, Dekre Ani, Shchinta, which is referred to as Ani, that's what it is. Okay, so skip two lines. Al derech apshat Ani hu, Sheshmi Ani. Okay, that God's name is Ani. Okay, so we're skipping a little bit. L'divari Eile, or L'divari Eile, lo yitachen lomar, be'emes milas Ani, rak ha'elyon yizbarach lo ha'adam. That the word, it's not good, it's not correct to say that the word ani refers to God and not a person. Ki'atzam adam hu anefesh, because the essence of a person is his soul. Ve'aguf einenu rak hamikra davuk be'atzam, and the guf, the body, is basically what holds it all together. V'chol yicholas hasagas adam bilti mispashetes rak al echius hadvarim lo al atzmusam, and the whole concept of a person is contingent on the person's quality, right? There's the word again. And lo al atzmusam, not on the physical. Ki etzem kol advarim lo otzem dikuso upashuso ein anu bas v'dam yichol nakiro b'shum ofen. We can't understand, because we're human. We're only human, exactly. We're only bas v'dam. Ki im yishalenu adam. B'dirima etzem ha'esh mahu. If you're going to ask, what is fire? I couldn't tell you. It's some thing which lightens and it brings warmth and it burns. That's not the essence of what fire is. Those are qualities of fire. I couldn't explain to you what fire is. I also can't tell you what the soul is, but that is something which is in us, and we have feelings which are very clear. That's the nefesh. We can't come to the essence of what the nefesh is. So when we try to get it, we might give depictions of what the nefesh is. It's strength, it's knowledge, it recognizes, it understands, it wants. Kol zeh in enurak echius hanefesh. These are only qualities of the nefesh. Avol etzem nefesh adayin lo yoda mahu. But the essence of the soul, we don't know what it is. Ve'acharei musha mekuvan b'milas ani, hu. And so therefore, when we understand that the translation of the word ani is nose shekoach tenuas hakaraso no teliatzmo, ani basically goes back into the essence of itself. Yachareisha hakarato es atzmo who guilty of sharila adam. It's something which a person can't really achieve. Im kein kishiyomar milas ani einenu b'derech ames kiim b'derech mushal. It's not so much in the path of truth, but rather in the path of how would you define mushal?
Lending.
Something which is borrowed.
Borrowed.
In other words, an understanding of it.
In other words, what little we have, we've only got that Baruch Hashem.
Right.
And even that's not much.
Amnam hu yisbarach hayodeas atzmuso hu hu beemes hanosei shakaraso note leatzmo v'yacholam abra emes alatzmo ani. Okay, in other words, God can define himself by ani because God understands his essence.
Right.
But we don't understand our essence. We can only relate to that which we see and think we understand. L'chein shapir nofel alav shame ani.
That's
what there's some. I was triggering a memory that the ani, but it's not. God doesn't talk about himself as I. We all said this in the distinction between anochi and ani. But I just wish I remembered what it was, because he used another word of aleph nun to explain what ani means. In other words, how it's a quality of God. I'm not remembering what it is. But Dabi Zelam Askil, he says, it's enough. You got to be smart to get this. Okay, and Mashkasav Nuzah Bahazinu ani ani hu. Vayin perush acharevi amarta alehem. And that's what it was. Rosh Parshas Va'era Vidatem ki ani Hashem. Okay, that's where it was. I was right that's where it was. So now I'm gonna have to look back. I'm gonna have to look it back and see. Look at it again and see what it was. But it was a fascinating interpretation. Okay, so we'll stop here. I just want you to know that next week.